unto him who loved us and who has washed our sins away with his holy precious blood, may he strengthen our faith and hope in the one true triune God. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, this is now the second Sunday in the Advent season. Advent means coming. And during the three midweek Advent services, we are going to consider a general question that is specifically and exclusively a part of our Christian faith. The question is, why do you believe that the Son of God, the babe born in Bethlehem, is true God? Among the various church bodies, generally it is believed that Jesus Christ was indeed a human being, and that he lived here on earth for a period of time, and that he suffered death by a crucifixion. However, that's as far as it goes for millions of certain church bodies throughout the world. The Unitarians, the Muslims, the Jews, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Christian Science, just to mention a few, all are recognized as religions, but all of them reject that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only Savior of all sinners. None of those church bodies that I just mentioned celebrate Christmas in the true Christian religion sense. We believe that Jesus Christ is both true God and true man. And why do we believe that that babe born in Bethlehem is true God? This morning we will direct our attention to one of the reasons. We believe that the babe born in Bethlehem is true God because Scripture ascribes to him divine names. We're going to direct our attention to a whole number of Scripture verses from both the Old and the New Testament. And here we will see that ascribed to Jesus, the babe born in Bethlehem, are divine names. You and I do not have a divine name. The divine names are names that apply only to God. Now, the divine names that are ascribed only to God are given in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And these divine names in the Old Testament were written hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem. Genesis 3:15. Now that's at the beginning of your Bible. There in the Garden of Eden, after the devil in the form of a snake had tempted Adam and Eve, the Lord said to the devil, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Apostle Paul said, "When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law." In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, 700 years before Jesus was ever born, Isaiah wrote, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And related to that, the evangelist Matthew writes, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken to the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is a divine name, God with us, God and man in one person. The seed of the woman, which was spoken of by God in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve had sinned. That referred to the virgin birth of Christ. It is the Savior, the seed of a woman, not a man and woman, no, but the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophet gives a whole list of names that are all divine. Isaiah wrote, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Those are all names that refer to God. In Psalm 110, verse 1, King David wrote, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." In Matthew chapter 22, we're told, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'? If David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. As a human being, Jesus was a descendant, according to the flesh, of the Old Testament King David. But when he spoke about that in Scripture, "The Lord said to my Lord," there's a Lord above David. And that Lord, of course, is the divine Son of God, our one and only Savior. In Jeremiah, we have this: "This is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." He is the Lord, righteousness, the sinless Son of God, our one and only Savior. Micah, the prophet, wrote, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting." Micah, hundreds of years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem, wrote that that's exactly where he would be born. When you take all of these divine names of the Old Testament, hundreds of years before the things happened, and then you see the fulfillment of all of these Old Testament prophecies being fulfilled in the time of the New Testament, you simply have to say, hundreds of years have passed by, and yet the Word of God has never failed. It's always been fulfilled. Zechariah, the prophet, wrote about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. You remember that on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus made that tremendous entrance into the city of Jerusalem. Hundreds of years before that ever happened, we are told, the prophet wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." It is so interesting and so faith-strengthening to look at all of those prophecies in the Old Testament and then to see all of that fulfilled. And anybody who doubts that simply is not Christian. Now, let's look and give our attention to some of the divine names in the New Testament. Matthew 1:21, the evangelist writes, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus, Jesus, means Savior. Matthew 3:17, when Jesus was baptized, the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And a number of years later, at the Transfiguration, where Jesus went up the Mount of Transfiguration with the disciples Peter, James, and John, again, they heard the Father speak from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then there he added the words, "Hear him." The Father called Jesus the Son of God. The people with whom he came into contact during the days of his ministry called him the Son of God. All of the writers of Holy Scripture that refer to Jesus and the promise of his birth called him the Son of God. Mary was told by the angel Gabriel, "That child that you are going to give birth to shall be called the Son of God." Joseph was given the same promise. Jesus himself said that he is the Son of God. The centurion stood at the foot of the cross at the crucifixion, and when it was all over, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." All of that evidence that Jesus is the Son of God, which is a divine name. Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, said, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel. He has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began." God has given evidence of the divinity of the Son of God, our Savior, through all of the prophets who spoke as long as this earth has existed. The angel announced to the shepherds on the field of Bethlehem, "There is born to you this day in the city of David," which was Bethlehem, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And Christ, that's the other name for Messiah or our Redeemer. The evangelist John says that Jesus is the true light that was coming into the world, and he lights the way. Spiritually, every one of us is in the darkness. As we are born, it isn't until someone teaches us and directs us to Holy Scripture that the Holy Spirit brings us to faith in the Son of God. Jesus himself said, and summarized it so beautifully in John chapter 14, "I am the way." That's the only way to eternal life. The Son of God, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to be saved? Then you'll have to go the way that God has given us, by faith and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus. When Lazarus died, the brother of Mary and Martha, they called for Jesus, and when he arrived 4 days after Lazarus had died, he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection, the one who rose from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, nevertheless, whoever believes in me shall never die. Now, Jesus is talking about dying in two different ways. We die the physical death. But if we believe in Jesus, that physical death is nothing more than the door to which we enter into eternal life. When Jesus began his ministry, John the Baptist pointed to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And that directed the people's attention to the whole Old Testament. The Lamb of God, if you recall what Holy Scripture says about the children of Israel when they were escorted out of the land of Egypt, it was because on that particular night, the Lord went throughout the land of Egypt, and the children of Israel had been instructed to kill a lamb, to eat the lamb, to have their food together with that, and they were all to be dressed and ready for a journey, because in that night the angel of death passes throughout the land of Egypt, and the children of Israel were instructed, you take some of that, the blood of that lamb, and you splash that above the door and down the doorposts, and the angel of death will Passover. That's where they got the Old Testament Passover festival, and they were saved by the blood of a lamb. John the Baptist points, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus also called himself the light of the world. He will lead us out of spiritual darkness into the marvelous, glorious light of heaven. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, and gave a special name to the Lord Jesus, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You want to see the glory of God? Then behold, the Lord of glory hanging on a cross, suffering and dying, paying the price, the penalty, for all of our sins. There is, as Paul wrote to Timothy, there's only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is the mediator, the go-between. Through him, we stand in the presence of the holy and just God. And you go to the final book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, and Jesus is speaking there. He says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end. He always was, he is, and ever shall be the Almighty God. And again in Revelation, Jesus says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David." He identifies himself as the man, the descendant of great King David. And then he adds, "the bright and morning star." What a beautiful picture of our Savior, a bright morning star that lights the way. And then in Revelation 19, we're told, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Normally when we talk about the Word of God, you think of the Bible. But the Word of God is a name given to Jesus. The evangelist John begins his gospel with these words, "In the beginning was the Word." He's not talking about the Word as we normally use it, but "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That is a divine name. He was in the beginning with God. And now you take that and you go back to the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And God said, "Let there be." And there was. In the beginning, the Word spoke. In the beginning, at the creation, the one who was doing the speaking, "Let there be," was the Word, the Son of God, our only Savior. And Holy Scripture is so beautifully tied together. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, the author, whoever that was, we do not know who wrote the Epistle to the Hebrews. The author wrote, "He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." And again he says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne on high," and that refers to his ascension into heaven. But he's the author and the finisher of our faith. There is nothing else for us to believe and where to put our trust other than in Jesus. That finishes it all. Anyone who denies that Jesus is the Son of God and our only Savior, and that babe born in Bethlehem is indeed true God, anyone who denies all of that is simply flying into the face of centuries of witnesses and all of this in Holy Scripture, the Old and the New Testament, which leaves no doubt in our minds whatsoever that Jesus Christ, the babe born in Bethlehem, has divine names because he is indeed the Son of God and our only Savior. Scripture testifies finally, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May our faith, our hope, our joy in that divine Redeemer we have be strengthened, and then we are prepared in this pre-Christmas season for the celebration of a God-pleasing Christmas. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.